We're coming, and we ain't backing down.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror.
I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today.
Guys being dudes.
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man.
Patrick Vint is a longtime Iowa Hawkeye fan and journalist who has irreverently and expertly covered Iowa athletics for about as long as I've been on the internet, and probably longer. Patrick and I met years ago when he was plying his trade at Blackheart Gold Pants, the SB Nation Iowa site. And he has since written about Iowa at Rivals and now out on his own at HawkeyeState.substack.com, the lucky home for his writing today. Patrick is also a lawyer, which gives him a more informed perspective on certain college sports issues than some of us have. One of those issues is the gambling investigation that unfolded throughout 2023 and in some ways still into this year around athletes from both Iowa and Iowa State. The investigation rolled up several Power 5 football players and a few dozen athletes in total, many of whom entered guilty pleas for underage gambling. Not everybody did that, however, and in March, prosecutors dropped charges against four Iowa State athletes who had not pled, and at this moment, 26 current and former athletes, almost all of them at Iowa and Iowa State, are in the midst of a federal lawsuit that they have filed against the state investigative agency, the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation, or DCI, that made this all happen. Why? Well, because the investigation was a mess of epic proportions, and Patrick has chronicled that very well in a new piece at Hawkeye State, which we will link to in the show notes. He has also been kind enough to join me here on Split Zone Duo and talk in some more detail about this case, the way that the Iowa authorities handled it, the way that the NCAA handled it, and what, if anything, we should learn from this entire saga in Iowa. There is way more to this story than met the eye last fall when it first broke into the public conscience, and there's lots to talk about. So, Patrick, welcome to Split Zone Duo. How are you?
Thank you. Big fan, longtime subscriber. Happy to be here.
Yeah, Patrick is a friend of the show, which is maybe the only strike against him is that he listens to this program. But otherwise, we've always very much enjoyed reading the work that you've done at numerous homes covering Iowa. This piece that you wrote, you titled it Heads Will Roll, was eye-opening to me, even though I was broadly familiar with some of the themes in it and expected that you would deliver a bit of a banger. The Iowa gambling investigation covered a lot of sports bets by a lot of players at these two big schools in the state. And I believe players at a couple of other schools, though mostly these two. Usually, when someone nowadays involved in sports gets flagged in a gambling investigation, that happens a certain way. They place a bet or they make an account on one of the major sports books, either on their own with their own name or using a loved one's name, and a flag goes up with a monitoring company. There are a few of them. You might have heard of US Integrity that's been involved in some of these, and then it's sort of off to the races after a bet has been placed or after something weird has happened on the field, and then various stakeholders up to law enforcement are off to the races and figuring out exactly what happened there. What you described, Patrick, in the Iowa case was a way different investigatory approach that revolves around something called geofencing. And I'm wondering if you could explain what happened there.
Yeah. So to make a 15-month saga short, essentially what happened here is when Iowa legalized sports gambling, they created a separate division of the Division of Criminal Investigation, DCI, to monitor sports gambling. And they were having a real hard time doing it because most sports betting is being done on phones. They're not being done at a casino sports book or live. And so you can't really check for underage gambling on phones very well. One investigator got wind of a program being used by one of these compliance companies that works heavily with DraftKings and with FanDuel that would allow them to do what's called geofencing. And really what it is you could take essentially a map, as I understand it, and draw a circle around an area and then pull cell phone data from within that circle. Specifically, anybody who opened up the app, anybody who logged into a particular account is what I understand in this investigation. And so this investigator, a man named Brian Sanger, went to his superiors with the idea of using the software first at undergraduate dorms at the University of Iowa. So go to a freshman dorm, draw a circle around the freshman dorm. You assume everybody there is probably underage. And if you see any DraftKings or other gambling apps open,
FanDuel, et cetera, yeah.
Then you would assume that there's underage gambling there. The problem with that is that it's pretty clear from all the jurisprudence over the 15 or so years this has been available in gambling and other investigations that you need to have a warrant in order to make that kind of a search. It hasn't been absolutely settled in Iowa, but it's been strongly hinted at. It's been settled law in many other jurisdictions, and most of the county attorneys that are involved in this one even brought up the fact that a warrant needed to be done. They didn't have a warrant. They don't have to get a warrant in most of these cases. They were just going to a place where they assumed that everybody was underage and then trying to draw a circle around it and pick up the information. The DCI superiors rejected that approach first. The investigator then went to the Iowa football facility. We now know after this past week, drew a circle around it, pulled data out of it, and basically said, either the people are underage, they're of age, but they're football players and shouldn't be gambling under NCAA regulations, or they're coaches or managers that have the same issues as an of age football player. So anybody who's gambling out of there presumably would be in violation of something, whether it would be the DraftKings terms and conditions, NCAA regulations, or the actual law. So he took that then up to his superiors, and they okayed it. And from there, the investigation spiraled to other parts of the University of Iowa Athletic Department, moved over to Iowa State. I think you're right. There have been a couple, I think, charges or at least implications for legal students at UNI. So, but the primary focus has been Iowa and Iowa State, and really primarily football programs at both schools, although there have been significant impacts on the wrestling programs at both schools and the basketball programs at both schools as well.
Right, and you guys care about wrestling quite a bit in the state of Iowa, if I am to understand correctly.
Yeah, they lost, I think, 4 starters from the wrestling program this year, which pretty much sunk the season before it started. Now, Penn State fans will tell you they were going to win anyway, and they probably would have, but any hope that Iowa had of staying close was pretty much gone when they lost those guys.
So something that you covered in your story that was kind of wild to me was that, you know, typically you would need a warrant in order to get this information, as you say, and to be able to just snoop around for crime in a very targeted area. That makes sense to me. I'm not an attorney like you, but I understand the idea of probable cause. You watch enough CSI when you're 10 years old, and I think a lot of Americans understand that. But it sounds like what the investigators in Iowa did was different. And instead of the classic go and get a warrant approach, which is what I think is usually supposed to happen, they basically bought the geofencing product. Like, they licensed it as if they were a sports book. Is that correct? And is that, like, can you do that? Can you just...
So that's kind of right. So what they did was they went to this company called GeoComply, who had the software. Asked them for the details. GeoComply apparently sells this stuff all over the country. And so they set up a real close relationship with DCI at that point, gave them a bunch of training on how this stuff was used, on what you could use it for. There's some of the reporting done by the Des Moines Register included slides from the GeoComply presentation where they drew a circle around Kinnick Stadium during a game and picked up how many people had placed wagers during a game. And so they brought all that to them and then said, hey, here's a copy of the software that you can use while you prepare to get us licensed that you can then use our software going forward. As far as I know, the licensing was never actually done. What GeoComply's position was on this, as far as I can tell, is if you dig deep into the terms and conditions for your DraftKings or your FanDuel account, they have a part in there that says they can essentially give your information to anybody that they want to, and you're assenting to that by signing up for an account.
Yeah.
GeoComply then took the position that, well, we get all the information from them and we give them to anybody, so we'll give it to you and we'll do it without a warrant, which might be okay on their end, but becomes a real problem on the investigative end because you still do have Fourth Amendment search and seizure. So you can't necessarily just take that information if it's just handed to you and then use it in court. So what ended up happening was in 2022, when this software first came in, they took it to the Story County attorney, according to some of the reporting from the Register. And the Story County attorney said, you need to have a warrant to be able to do any of what you're contemplating here. And then they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to tip their hand, for one. They didn't have any sort of tips or investigative information that would allow them to go get a warrant on the other. So instead, they tried to take this position that basically, if we license it, if we write regulations that say that we can have it, then we can have it. Now, those never got passed, as far as I know, and I've never seen them actually come to fruition. They kind of jumped the gun on this by doing what they did. The premise, I think, for them was, this is the best chance we have of catching people who are underage, and it's the most high-profile way we can do it. If we do it, and people find out that these guys are getting out of technicality, then maybe we can get the rule changed that we could have this stuff anyway. We're getting some resistance from the legislature in doing that, and so this is a way of getting us in front of them.
So essentially, the investigators in Iowa just sort of figured, and I guess they were correct about this, but we'll get to that, that if we just take a look at logins to sports bets in certain areas of the Iowa and Iowa State campuses, then we will find something that is either crime or ought to be crime, and we could sort of pressure the powers that be into making it a crime if it is not currently a crime. Is that fair to say?
That's exactly what happened.